Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. We got a Unite Worship gathering coming up this weekend at Calvary Chapel. 24 hours of vertical worship. Oh, it's so good. We haven't had one. We skipped last month. So it's exciting to get back into swing of things. But we always have a 24-hour potluck going at the same time.
Do people still use that word, potluck?
I like that word,
what potluck. What is it? Is it like there's food in a pot, and if you have luck, it might be good when you eat it?
Well, I think the terminology came out of Colorado.
No, that's
kind of where it originated.
That's a different kind of potluck.
No. Totally different.
Yeah. No, I think maybe because people cook things in crock pots, like little weenies and things like that.
Well, I'm talking about the luck thing. Like, so if, you know.
Well, it's kind of a crapshoot.
A little sketchy.
There's some weird stuff that happens at potlucks. Let's talk about that.
My favorite is what a friend of ours calls Church of God salad. And it's the orange jello mixed with cottage cheese. And I don't understand why people do that.
I've seen some with carrots in it, too. Well, that's
like
a bad
jello
idea.
With carrots?
Lime jello with carrots.
Like what? I think that's like a product of the Depression.
Yeah.
That is correct. The communal meal, where guests bring their own food, originated in the 1930s during the Great Depression by influence from potlatch and by extension of, traditional sense, luck of the pot. Also referred to as the spread, Jacob's join, Jacob's supper, faith supper, covered dish supper, dish party, bring and share, shared lunch, pitch in, bring a plate, dish to pass, fuddle, and carry in.
Oh, no.
The thing that I always worry about are those little tortilla rolls.
Oh, right.
You got some kind of weird mixture in the middle of them.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they're amazing, and sometimes they're like, I have no idea what this is.
Like, you put it in your mouth, and you're like, wow, that was like a foot. Tasted like feet.
Care to share? care to elaborate?
We do notice that the bigger the city, the lower quality the potluck.
That is true.
Well,
I think those are directly connected.
I don't.
No.
I've been to some pretty good big city potlucks. Oh, yeah.
Still talking about the wrong kind of potluck. Is those small town, like, homemade food potlucks that we like?
Yeah. Where people still cook.
Yeah.
They've got kids and they feed their kids.
It's whenever you do go to a big city potluck, you have a whole table full of store-bought veggie trays.
Yeah, stuff from the deli at Hy-Vee.
Hy-Vee?
Location.
Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
So I remember last time we had a Unite Worship gathering at Calvary Chapel, it was a pretty darn good potluck, I have to say.
We have high expectations that we're expecting people to rise to again.
So if you are a part of the church family at Calvary Chapel and you're listening to this,
it's time to bring it.
We look forward to the potluck.
Oh, man. We're going into some really cool stuff today on the broadcast, talking about equipping the equippers and part two of our interview with Dustin Smith coming up in the show.
Each generation has its own divine mandate from God, its own set of responsibilities to release truths and realities in the kingdom into the earth. And we at Next Gen Worship feel the responsibility to begin to steward and call out as a voice to an entire generation. We want to invite you to partner with us financially, prayer, and community. We encourage one-time donations as well as a partnership that creates a connection. Help us empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Your giving will help us travel to cities carrying the heart and message of the worship movement in our region. Continue to produce the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Establish our record label, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Create consumable media geared towards raising up and inspiring the sons and daughters of God that creation is longing for. Hold conferences that are focused on bringing people into a life-changing encounter with God, and much more. To partner with us, go to nextgenworship.com/partner.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're sitting down with Sean Bowles talking about God's secrets. It's going to be a great show. You definitely want to tune in. Today, we're diving into the topic of equipping the equippers. And later on in the show, we're going to be sitting down with Dustin Smith and discussing this in further detail. Let's talk about this.
So we were at dinner with one of our friends recently, and he was pinging us with all kinds of questions, like, how are you doing what you're doing? How is Next Gen Worship structured? What do you guys do? What are your core values? And out of my mouth popped this phrase that I had never really, thought of before. I said, we're reverse engineering heaven on earth. And you could see the light bulb / question mark moment come up. So I kind of started elaborating on this thought that had kind of just risen up in me. Instead of approaching what we're doing from the place of tradition and previous generation mindsets, we're looking ahead into Jesus's mindset. And in Jesus's mindset, in the heart of heaven, the culture that he establishes through who he is and what he is, we can begin to see his heart for our world. And we know Jesus's prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we can go, okay, what is heaven like? Let's start there. What kind of fathers exist in heaven? What kind of disciples does it take to carry that atmosphere in a transformative way? And that's really what we're doing. All of our meetings, everything we do is geared around, what does this look like if we were in heaven right now? What would this look like if we had the fullest expression of heaven available to us and releasing it into the earth right now? And for me, it's super fresh because we're not trying to build on something else somebody's already built on. We're not trying to replicate or compete with somebody else. Man, we're just downloading heaven. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who are going to equip other people to release heaven on earth in a way that changes world history forever.
I think this is a really great example of fighting from victory versus fighting for victory.
Love that.
I love this phrase, equipping the equippers, because it is perpetual. If you equip equippers, they're going to become equippers that equip equippers.
Right, yeah, right.
So it's this kind of, you're setting stuff in motion. You're not just pacifying or helping people get through. You're actually creating. You're in the process of creation. So you're being creative and you're empowering people and giving them permission. And what's that do? It ignites hope in people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And then they become that catalyst as well. The only thing that can happen out of that is better stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It can't go backwards because there is no competition. It's all championing forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is one of the wisest uses of our resources and our energy physically, is to equip people that will then start equipping.
So yeah. How do we do this? I mean, the model is a little bit hard to do from a pulpit or from a stage. So mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to be done everywhere, but how we're doing is through community.
Yeah.
It's through building family and going across church family lines, going across denominational lines, and just wrapping our arms around our local area and pulling in believers, like hearts, that want to champion heaven on earth.
Yeah, and I like the word champion because we're championing people, and we're not putting the focus on big ministry building. We're putting on the focus on big people building. We're not putting the focus on big church building. We're putting the focus on city transformation. And the reason that's so important is that when we invest in people, it is cyclical. You know, we are talking about making disciples. This is what fathers do. Fathers raise up sons.
Yeah.
And we have gone over this scripture many times, and it's pretty popular, but Paul is like, you know, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. Mm-hmm. He's stressing the importance of you have to have a father. And what we're talking about when we say discipleship is not necessarily just a classroom expression that's, you know, still viable and good and even has worked in previous generations, right? But man, we're talking more like life-on-life discipleship. So we get the picture of Elijah, who has stretched himself out on the widow's son. It was hand on hand, face on face, and he was just stretched out on him. And he breathed life into him. And that, to me, is a great picture of discipleship because it's no longer relegated to a teaching platform to a student in the seat. We're talking about real life stuff here. We're talking about these are the things that you need to do to change the world. Not only that, here's what I see in you that God has put in you to change the world. That is a game changer. Mm. And that's an art and a skill that has fallen away. The ability to look in somebody's life and go, that thing in you, you have no idea. God's going to use that to change the world. Extremely powerful.
I think it's one of the reasons that this is hard for us is because we have grown up with kind of a dualistic mentality of valuing certain things as spiritual and other things as not spiritual. And when you're doing community, when you're building family, when you're having face-to-face connection with people, there is a lot of just regular old life that is involved in that, unless, like, let's all sit around and be spiritual together. And so people find that hard to value, but I really think that the Lord sometimes does so much more in just the everyday life, the, you know, helping your friend clean, the, you know, doing yard work together or having a cookout or, you know, things like that, that he really operates in that so powerfully.
It's called relationship.
Right.
And if we go back to the many teachers, few fathers, mm-hmm. Let's take a look real quick at the heart of each. Now, we need teachers and yes. We need fathers, mm-hmm. but the heart condition is a little bit different. A teacher says, here's information, you're responsible for yourself. A father says, here's information, and I'm responsible for you.
Yeah, that's
and
powerful.
I'm responsible with you to help that come to pass.
Yeah.
And that's just the difference between a teacher and a father. A teacher dispels information and a father says, here's the stuff I see in you and I'm going to help pull it out of you.
Yeah, so good. Another thing that fathers do is they are dreamers. Now, when we stop dreaming, we position ourselves to become prisoners. And this is what we see in so many people's lives. They have stopped dreaming. They have stopped looking to, you know, what is God going to do in my life? But fathers have the ability, the unique ability, to resurrect hope and dreams and vision in people's hearts again to where they can go, oh, you know what? God has promised life and good for me. He is good. I'm not stuck in this cycle of monotony that I found myself in. I can break free of this. I can be a powerful person with a voice. I can have healthy relationships. I can influence people around me with the presence of God.
I love what Ray Hughes, a great example of a father, right. says. You can make history and never make a difference. But if you make a difference, you'll always make history.
Yeah. And that's the real litmus test, right? Everything that we do, we are gauging on, is this making a difference? Did it make a difference when we did that? If it didn't, let's change it or stop it or reinvent it or find something else. Because we don't have decades and decades to repeat old cycles of fruitless endeavors that we've seen everybody else do. Man, it's time for something new. It's time for something radically inventive from heaven's perspective. I love the word you used earlier, creativity. Man, when we partner with creativity in vision and fathering, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish. All things are possible through that because creativity is a really pure expression of faith. We're creating something out of nothing. We're envisioning, we're speaking, we're prophesying into the future of people's lives. We're casting a vision that they never expected could be for their lives, for their families. And then we're saying that is possible.
I think in a culture of sin consciousness, people tend to live under this cloud of self-deprivation.
Yeah.
In that culture, people don't want to call out the gold in each other because it might make you feel a little bit better than what you should feel, because you're supposed to be this lowly worm. Yeah. That
whip your back.
Isn't prideful and all that good yeah. stuff. You stay humble, you know, as long as you're struggling, then you'll stay humble. But yeah. the true definition of humility is understanding your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's humility. Yeah. Understanding who you are and where you fit.
Yeah. yeah.
And what you're supposed to do. And that is championed through calling out the golden people and yep. saying, this is who you are. It brings them to the place of true identity. And in that place, you can't be anything but humble.
Wow. Right? So I'm sitting here listening to you say that and realizing that in my own life, I have struggled with creativity and allowing myself to dream, because in my mind, all of those things had to be connected to actually accomplishing a goal. There wasn't an actual value in the dreaming or a value in just the creativity. If I couldn't produce something that was complete, then it was failure. And so I think that, like, in my mind, I'm realizing that I need to have a value for just the process of being creative and dreaming about something, even if it doesn't actually lead to some big endeavor. There's value in just allowing myself to dream like heaven dreams.
Yeah. I love the fact that you brought up the sin consciousness issue, because people do that. But the disciples asked Jesus, what do we need to do to be great? And he didn't rebuke them. He's like, if you want to be, then this is what you need to be. You need to be the servant of all. So we just declare to you guys out there, everybody listening, that you were born to be great, and you were born to change the world, and you were born to be an influencer of people in the kingdom, and you were born to advance the next generation of kingdom builders and heaven releasers beyond who you are and where you are.
Something that we've kind of stumbled across along the way is the generation following us is not aware of some of the heroes that have come before us, that have gotten us to where we are. You know, we're always saying we want to push our ceiling so far that it becomes the next generation's floor. There have been many, many, many men and women in history that have done that for us. And so in a couple of weeks, we're going to visit some of those stories and talk about forgotten fathers so mm-hmm. that the new generation can appreciate where they came from and maybe even dive in and discover some things about the work that's already been accomplished up to this point. So mm-hmm. another great father we're going to be talking to next week about God's secrets, Sean Bowles. You definitely don't want to miss that show. Yeah. We talked to him last year, and he's just poured into our lives, and what an influential voice in the earth right now. Equipping the Equippers. That's what we're going to continue to talk about with Dustin Smith when we come back. We asked local worship leaders to try Core Sound pads and tell us what they think.
So I started using pads probably about 3 years ago, mainly because on a Wednesday night when you didn't have an entire worship team, it was pretty thin, so I started using those on the recommendation of Clint, and come across the Core Sound pads. I figured pad's a pad, but it's really not. These pads are so much more than just someone sitting on a sustain pedal with a keyboard pad playing in the background. It fills the space so much more depth and dimension, and if you have the right pad player, it'll actually do the transition from one key to another, and that's one of the main reasons I like it. I am Will Brown, worship pastor at Promised Land Fellowship in Granby, Missouri.
Go to Core, C-O-R-E, CoreSoundPads.com to learn more. Try free samples and get going with pads today. Enter promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Sean Bowles on the program with us next week, and we're fortunate enough again to sit down with Dustin Smith this week. Today, we're discussing equipping the equippers. We get to hear all about Here Be Lions right now.
Hey, Dustin, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be back.
Hey, we just had you on talking about healing is right, and I didn't want to let you go without talking to you about Here Be Lions. So we've known you guys as Dustin Smith, Dustin Smith Ministries. What in the world is Here Be Lions?
You know what? I don't even know. No, I'm just kidding. You know what's interesting? This is hard, man, but culture has defined church for so long. And I feel like church is supposed to define culture. You know, Ephesians says the church isn't peripheral to the world, but the world is supposed to be peripheral to the church.
Yeah.
And for so long in our religious culture, it's really been about one guy doing everything. And I even feel like we've lost the fivefold ministry because of the fact that we have one guy having to do everything. It's not even that they want to do everything. So this isn't a knock on guys who are leading movements and doing it all. It's just been the way it's been, and they burn out. One of the reasons I think guys burn out is because it's had to become just about them doing everything. And I started asking God, like, how do I empower the guys around me? How do I empower them to be who I know they're supposed to be, to step out, to really live life on the edge? And I felt God say, well, how are they supposed to own Dustin Smith Ministries? Like, how are they supposed to be Dustin Smith? They can't be Dustin Smith, you know? And it hit me, you know, pretty hard, actually. And so I started just asking God. And I've been a part of doing some stuff with Michael Farron and Jenny Riddle, and we had started traveling as Here Be Lions. Well, the name Here Be Lions, it's funny because when you show up, people are like, oh, you like, here we be. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they think. But like, some people think it's called We Be Lions. Actually, when you read it, it reads it like it looks like Hebrew loins. So you got to be careful, no matter how you say it. But Here Be Lions is actually something that the early voyagers used when they would go out on ships. In their maps, wherever there was untapped resources or undiscovered territories, they would stamp it with Here Be Lions. So when they would go out, it would actually warn them that there may be things here, there may be untapped resources or undiscovered territories, but there might actually be lions here. You know, there might actually be dangerous things here. And we started realizing, like, we're actually out looking everywhere we travel. We're actually looking for lions. So we're asking God, would you stamp an area and show us where the lions are? So when we show up, we can call that out in them. We can call them out as lions. We can say, it's okay for you to roar. It's okay for you to be. And we believe there are untapped resources in the kingdom of God because too many people are waiting for the man to do it. They're waiting for somebody else to do it. And this is something that God's actually put on us. Like, we feel like our ministry is to equip the equippers. And it's difficult because in this culture, there's like, especially in Nashville, there's so much competition. Everything's competition-based. But I really believe that competition comes from a poverty mentality. You know, it comes from a mentality that says, well, you know, Clint, you got a podcast. If your podcast is successful, that means my podcast can't be successful. So I can't really support you. I can't really give you money because I'm fighting for my own money. I'm fighting for my own resources. I'm fighting for my own platform. And I think that is so bogus. If you know who God is in the kingdom of God, then you're going to look at other people and you're going to call out the best in them. And I don't even care if they're a more powerful voice than me, because my job is not to be the voice. My job is to equip and empower voices.
Wow.
But the problem is that we've had such this insecure culture in church that, well, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford it if I step into this position that isn't the main guy, or if I'm an associate, or if I'm just a helper, and I'm thinking, like, are you crazy? This is why we're not resourced very well, you know,
yeah.
Because God knows if we're so fear-based and so poverty-based that if he does give us resources, we're just going to hold on to it because we're going to be fearful then that it's not going to last or it's going to go away. And so I feel like, you know, Here Be Lions for us is like, as we travel around, you know, we're going to travel to churches, we're going to travel worship teams, and we don't go in just going, you know, oh yeah, bring us in because we want to show you how good we are. We want you to bring us in so we can empower your worship team, and we want to help pull out the gold in them and help reveal how good they can be,
you know,
and how they can change their city. We may come in and we may partner with their voice, we may try to help, but our goal is, like, a visitor will never have the power over a city that you can have owning the city.
Yeah.
When you own land in that city, when you stand on that land, that's your land. That's your piece of territory. So us as visitors will never have the authority you'll have owning it. That's the power of it. So we want to come in and partner with people, and we want to help reveal this is what God's calling you to do. And, you know, as we're doing songs, as we're doing trainings and teachings, our goal is to equip the equippers.
Yeah. I love that. And speaking of that, you just had a single drop recently called Done Being Afraid. Tell us the story behind that. It's a really incredibly powerful song.
Yeah. So I wrote that song with Josh Silverberg, who I also wrote We Are Warriors with. And obviously there's a little bit of a theme going there. I think our goal is just to awaken people to the fact that fear is probably the biggest thing that holds them back. I realize, like, it doesn't do away with fear saying I'm done being afraid. It basically says that I'm going to stand up in the face of fear. God tells Joshua to step out. He says, Moses is dead, now arise. And then he says, be strong and courageous. And I've heard a lot of people, you know, declare strength. But truth is, strength and courage are really two different things. I've seen a lot of strong people that weren't very courageous. But I've not seen a lot of courageous people that weren't strong. You know? And so I'm trying to just give people really an inspiration. You know how it is. It's almost like when you used to hear, this is kind of sad, but you know, it used to be I had a tiger for me, you know, you know, it's just like, what am I going to do before I walk out and just do this thing, you know?
Right.
And I have not been able to find a lot of those that are really written by believers for who they're supposed to be. And before they step into workplace, the best thing you can do is listen to Done Being Afraid.
I think this is really a prophetic message, too. I feel like the entire church is living this song, and people are just, you know, coming to life. And we've heard all those prophecies from, like, the 70s about the giant that's been asleep mobilizing and coming to life, you know, and crushing the enemy. It seems like, you know, that's starting to happen. And it's so awesome to see people come alive and to find out who they're supposed to be, get a voice, and all that. Tell me about where you see Here Be Lions going. It's really new. And the idea is new, but incredibly empowering. What are some of your dreams about Here Be Lions, and where do you see this going?
Oh, man. Well, yeah. How long we have? What's that? So, you know, for us, there's so many aspects to it that we've been trying to figure it out, but we're actually calling the worship side of it, We Are the Roar. And we feel like the sound of heaven is coming to earth, and it's always going to come through people. And so We Are the Roar basically means, you know, the Bible says from your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And so a lot of times people are standing in churches waiting for God to come to them, but he's actually supposed to come from them.
Yeah.
And that's a huge deal. So for us, We Are the Roar is going to be the worship music side of it. The teaching, we're going to be pushing that out. We've got Healing is Right underneath Here Be Lions, which is another roar for us. It's another thing that's just roaring with healing. And then we're starting Be Fierce. And the Be Fierce movement, actually, we're starting June 10th. We're doing a conference in Kansas City for men. But ultimately, we're looking for Be Fierce families. And my heart and my goal for Here Be Lions is that we establish Be Fierce families that's actually almost like a promise keepers for families. And can you imagine thousands of families from around the world starting to unite? And the truth is, in the Jewish community, when they would get together, they got together as families. And they never left the family out. It was never like, well, we got the guys doing really good, or we got the wives doing really good. It was like, no, we're going after each other's families. We're protecting each other's families. Even the word elders is fathers. And so I see Here Be Lions raising up families. Stronger families will create stronger communities. Stronger communities will create stronger churches.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And my heart is not to just create a people who are really good at church services and stink at life.
Yeah.
You know, my heart and my goal is to see families raised up so that we might be able to win at life, which will cause us to be empowered in our church services because they will become celebrations as opposed to therapy sessions, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like Here Be Lions is in position to do that. We really are stepping out to push the limits of what God's trying to call people to be. And we're going to find those lions, and we're going to empower them. We're going to resource them. We feel like we're supposed to resource some other lions and really just see what God wants to do around the world.
Yeah, I love that. Give us all the website, social media for Here Be Lions. Help people connect with you there.
Okay, so we've got Here Be Lions app. I feel like the app is one of the best used tools that we have. It has our podcast on there, which my friend James Galbraith and I Crazy James.
Talk about it real quick. Talk about your podcast real quick.
Man, you know, our podcast, we've learned from the best, which we believe is Next Gen Worship, to be a little bit more structured and not just be... No, we have a blast. Our goal is just to really help people, you know, on their Mondays. We laugh quite a bit, have some fun, but then we always try to bring a strong truth at the end of it for the week, you know, and to give people some inspiration for the week. The last four we did have been on Healing is Right. Then we're leaning on Be Fierce, and we're just kind of covering something each month. But you can find that on the Here Be Lions app. And then we also have a website, herebelions.org. You can obviously find us on social media and stuff under Here Be Lions.
Yeah, love it.
Hey, and if you mess up and do We Be Lions, we bought that domain just in case.
That's awesome.
I think
awesome.
We buy Hebrew Lloyds.
Yeah, you better get Hebrew Lloyds.
Don't image search that. No, do not image search that.
That's awesome. Well, Dustin, you know, super value your friendship. You're a champion, and really appreciate you giving us some time today.
Thanks, buddy. Love you guys.
So great to have our good friend Dustin on the program with us. We'll be sitting down with him, of course, in the future and discussing more about the community they're building out there in their region as we continue to build ours here and you continue to build yours wherever you are on the earth. Talking to another great influential voice in the earth right now, Sean Bowles, on the program next week. You definitely want to tune in as we mine the Father's heart and hear from him what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.